You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to turn to Acts 4. I want to go to a scripture real quick there and then jump over to Acts 8. We've been teaching on the name of Jesus. And we've been on the subject, a little over a month probably. We've talked about the authority in that name, how that name is above every name. And went through, of course, Philippians 2 and Hebrews 1 and Ephesians 1. Those are the chapters that we covered, several verses in each of those chapters, about how Jesus' name is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses He's Lord. About how that name is the most excellent name, far above all the angels even, Hebrews. And, of course, in Ephesians, the first chapter tells us that He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. So He's not just Lord. That name is just not the name above every name in heaven and earth and things under the earth. That name is also above every time period in this world and in the age to come. Amen. So it just covers everything, that name Jesus. That name is above every name. And it's been given to us for a purpose, for a reason. God gave us the name. In fact, it's in Acts, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, there where He says there's no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name other than the name of Jesus for you to call on to be saved, and that name has been given to us. So it's given to us to use in authority, just like you'd have a check with someone's name on it and you just fill it out. Well, we have a check with Jesus' name on it, and whatever's in His account we have access to. That's what Mark 16 is about, where Jesus tells us as believers to go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Tells us to go preach the gospel in Matthew 28, Mark 16. He empowers us with His name. It's been given to us to go use. Yes. Amen? It's the name we use when we pray. We talked about that. Went into John 14, John 15, John 16, those chapters, where Jesus talked about prayer. And He said, you know, very plainly, there are many times in the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th chapter, he said, like John 14, 12, He said, "He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to My Father, that whatever you ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." Amen? And so we pray in the name of Jesus. We learn that we're baptized in the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, all through there, they're baptized in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I do say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because Jesus did say that in Matthew 28, go to all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But then as you pick up on what the disciples did in the book of Acts, they would always say, in the name of Jesus, or the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord. There's not a set legal phrase or mantra or creed, because it would say name of the Lord, and then it would say name of the Lord Jesus, and then say the name of Jesus. And are you with me? So the way we do it here, just to cover all the bases, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and this I do in authority invested in Jesus' name. And so you're covered. If there's ever any problem and you're ever concerned about that, you were baptized in the name of Jesus. And somebody says, "Well, do you not say Father, Son, Holy Ghost?" Yes, you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just throw it all in the mix, that way everybody's covered. Amen? But in the book of Acts, you do see them saying that term Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's why I throw that in when we do baptisms. So there's so much in here. Demons are cast out in Jesus' name. Devils tremble at that name. Demons are subject to us through that name. The disciples told Jesus in Luke the 10th chapter, 17th verse. And so we find the name of Jesus is so prominent in the New Testament. It's amazing to me how we've gotten away from it in many churches. We've even gotten away from even using it, period, when we talk about even salvation. We'll talk about accepting Christ, when I accepted Christ. And that's okay, I understand that. He is the Christ. But Jesus is His name, Christ is His title. So at some point, we need to tell people not about Christ, we need to tell them about Christ Jesus, or about Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Because that's kind of a generic thing, Christ. That's like saying doctor, you know. Which one? There's a lot of doctors. But when you say Dr. Galloway, Dr. Burr, you put a name on it. Woo, hallelujah. So in the book of Acts, we've been in here a couple of weeks. This is the third week, I think, we've talked about the name of Jesus in the book of Acts. In the fourth chapter, notice this. I just want to get to this one verse. They had been abducted, Peter and John, by the Pharisees and Sadducees because they'd been healing and, you know, doing miracles and so on and so forth. And, of course, they threatened them not to use the name. We know that. They went to their own company, and I went over this briefly, I think, the other night. Notice what it says here in the 23rd verse, and being let go, 4:23, they went to their own companions or company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And I brought out also how you need to be sure to get back with your company. You ever been persecuted? Get with your own, get with your companions, get with your group, okay? That's what church is about.
Well, everybody's all mad at me, all picking at me.
Well, listen, everybody's not mad at you. Call me up. I'll stir you up. Come to church. We're not mad at you.
Yeah, but they don't believe like I believe.
Well, the church believes like you believe. Get with your own company. I know you're in the world, but you know you need to have companionship in the sense of spiritual companionship, friendship, fellowship. Are you with me? So they went back. They didn't run off and cry and get behind a rock like Elijah did. Remember that? Elijah ran and hid behind a rock. Says, Lord, slay me. I'm the only one left serving you. See, he should have got with his company. Problem with Elijah is he only had one friend. It was a rock.
Pet rock.
Everybody has pet rocks. Yeah. But anyway, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Hallelujah. Man, they got in faith. They started praying. With one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then, of course, the prayers all listed. I won't go through the whole thing because I'm really trying to get through this real quick. They went down to the 29th verse. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I love that. They didn't quit and give up. They didn't say, Lord, make our life easier. They said, Lord, give us boldness. They didn't say, Lord, you know, make life just a little easier. They said, Lord, make us stronger. I think that's where we miss it sometimes. Because if all God does is take away all the bad things. Now, see, God's not in the bad things. God's not sending the bad things. Don't twist what I'm saying here. But if God just by a snap of your fingers, you'll never have another trial the rest of your life, never have another battle the rest of your life. He takes away all the bad guys and all the enemies. You know what? You will never grow. Oh, so God sends them to make me grow. No, God does not send them. God sends His Word to make you grow. And the devil is trying to get you to stop using God's Word and give up. But if the devil never came, see, it's always a gamble. He always comes with this in mind, hoping you'll quit. But he's rolling the dice. Because the chance is you might stand on the Word, and boy, he loses and you get stronger. And what he meant for bad turns out for good. Because God can turn anything bad to good for you and I who trust and believe in God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But let's don't get confused who the characters are and who the players are. Many times in pulpits we say God sent this. God did not send that. God sent His Word. He didn't send the problem. But He gave you the power to overcome the problem. And in so doing, a lot of things happen there. Man, a lot's happening when you're praying and believing God. It's a wonderful thing. You're learning to trust God. That's good. Amen. You're learning also, you know, that God's behind all of our good and all of our blessings. That's a good thing to remember. And you know what? You're getting stronger.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let the devil roar. Let him throw his best shot. Let him come with everything he's got. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I have the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls me to triumph in Christ Jesus. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now listen, he is in me to do something. He's not in me to just be dormant. He's in there to help me win.
Yes.
So fight. Fight life through. Amen? And so they prayed that. They said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak their word. Give us boldness. Don't make everybody like me. Everybody's not going to like you. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, in fact, Jesus said, He said, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you.
That's
kind of scary. You mean everybody's not going to like me? No, I'm sorry, they're not. I don't know why, but they just don't. That just proves everybody's not all that intelligent.
Come on,
that's the living proof right there. How could you not like me? Anyway, let's go on. Don't answer that question. But they said, give us boldness that we speak your word, that we may speak your word, 30th verse, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Signs and wonders are associated with the name. The power of God is associated with the name of Jesus. In practicality, in use, where the name of Jesus is used in the book of Acts and in the Bible, there's always signs and wonders and miracles and healings taking place. They understood that. Peter attributed his healing of the lame man to the name of Jesus. We read that over there. Well, in fact, that's in the 4th chapter, 16th verse, where he talks about that. He said that it was by the power of God that he did, by the name of Jesus that he did that. 16th verse, or where is that? No, 3:16. 3rd chapter, 16th verse, he talks about. He tells the Sanhedrin it's because of the name. They in turn forbid them to speak in the name. Why? Because the power is in that name. These are points we've gone over and over the last 2 weeks. But notice this, 8th chapter, go over to 8th chapter. Along those lines, that point I'm trying to make here is that the name of Jesus is associated with the supernatural. The name of Jesus is associated with reversal of kingdoms, and you might say it that way. Overcoming the power of the devil with the power of God. Overcoming what the devil's done with the power of God. That's what we see over and over. In fact, that's what I quoted Luke 10:17, the disciples returned to Jesus, the 70, not the 12. The 70 returned to Jesus and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. The name of Jesus is associated with power over the devil. It's always associated with power over sickness, associated with power over possession. Deliverance comes through the name. Healing comes through the name by stretching forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Are you with me? So we see that very plainly in the book of Acts. We've been placed under the power of God now. We who've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are no longer subservient to the devil anymore. We're no longer under his thumb. And the banner that we hold up is the name of Jesus. That's the proof. That's the name we use when we pray. It causes demons to tremble and run. It causes sickness to go. Hello. It causes fear to leave. God stretches forth his hand when the name of Jesus is used, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name. The Holy Child Jesus. Now, God's not calling out that name. They were calling out that name. We're calling out that name. God's stretching forth his hand in response to the name. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on sick, and they shall recover. Even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Well, we're the ones that speak the name. See, and I think a lot of cases we call on him to be saved. Obviously, you couldn't be saved without doing that. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's repeated in Acts 2:21. Same thing. Peter said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call on that name. We confess that name. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess that name. We confess Jesus. Amen? And we got that down. I mean, that's to be saved, to go to heaven. We do that. But I don't think we've realized that that's not all trapped up in that name. You go through the book of Acts, they were calling on that name for healing. They were calling on that name for deliverance. They were calling on that name for signs and wonders. They were calling on the name for the supernatural. This is why people many times vacate churches and go after seances and horoscopes and psychic hotlines and every kind of supernatural, ungodly, unscriptural, anti-Christian, supernatural move out there, because there's no supernatural in the church. And it ought not to be so. The church ought to be a place where you can pray and get a miracle. Hallelujah. Where you can come to God and see. You know, I was talking to Kalita today, and of course, Eva spent some time with her yesterday and said the same thing. Kalita called me this morning. her husband Glenn passed away, went on to be with Jesus. He's up in heaven, hallelujah. And Kalita called me, and the same thing she was telling Evie yesterday. She said, "Brother Mike, I just feel so guilty. I don't know what's going on. I got such peace. I'm just not crying. I'm not grieving, and I just feel so good. I feel guilty." And I said, "Well, why would you feel that way, Kalita? Why would you feel guilty about it? That's the peace that passeth all understanding. That's supernatural. We're not the world. We're Christians." You know, and she said, "You know, I just feel like when I think about him, and of course I might tear up every once in a while, but when I think about him, it's just like he's gone out to go out on job, and I'm going to see him in a little bit." I said, "Clee, that's exactly right. For us as Christians, every loved one that has gone on to be with the Lord, we are going to see again. They've just gone on a trip, that's all. We're going to see them again. Oh, we may grieve for a little while, but we don't pick up a spirit of grief. We pray," and the Bible says, Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8, says there very plainly, that if we would, you know, be fretful, anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep and guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, the supernatural should be in the church. The real supernatural. But the real supernatural is tied up, tangled up, connected to the name of Jesus. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to miss out on all the supernatural. That's what you see in Acts 8. This is exactly what took place in Acts 8. When Philip, a deacon, not the apostle, this is one of the seven deacons picked out in Acts 6 chapter. They were scattered around. He went off into Samaria and began to preach in Samaria. He preached to a bunch of people that weren't supposed to be preaching to. I mean, this is a big deal. He went to Samaria. They didn't preach over the Samaritans. And yet he went. In fact, later the apostles came. It's an interesting story. But he begins to preach to them, and it says, fifth verse, it does say Christ here, but let's follow through. In the fifth verse, it says, "Then Peter went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Everybody say miracles which he did. Now that's called preaching Christ. I love that. "Well, we just preach Christ here." Well, good, that's great. You got miracle signs and wonders then. Because it just says he preached Christ, and that included miracle signs and wonders. That if you're going to preach him, you've got to preach all of him. We don't just preach what he said, we preach what he did. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. Amen. Well, he healed sick, raised dead, cast out devils. I guess we ought to do that too. Amen. Yep. I mean, he did it. Don't disciples do the same thing? Now, what we mean is we want to be nice, we want to forgive, we want to love. And I understand that, we should do that, but that's not everything he did. He did more than just be nice and love and forgive. He also healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. Okay. It says, "The multitudes one accord gave heed to the things which spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." Woohoo! "And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city." Now here's the power of the devil. Okay? "There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed." And when evidently he saw more power than he had. Isn't that right? More what kind of power? More supernatural power. He saw the miracles. He saw the healings. He saw the supernatural manifestations that came through the name of Jesus. It says, "Then Simon himself also was baptized. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Let's back up there. It says he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. I wonder how many things we've been preached to or preached or taught or read about or studied, how many things we've understand about the name of Jesus. I don't think we really have heard everything concerning the name of Jesus. And that sometimes keeps us from the supernatural. We hadn't heard that that name brings miracles, brings signs, brings wonders, brings deliverances. We've heard that that name will get you saved and get you forgiven. But see, he preached several things. He preached to them. You say, what did he preach on? Well, he had a series he was preaching. He preached a series on the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. What do you mean? How can you preach a series on the name of Jesus? Well, he preached the things concerning the name of Jesus. You mean there's things concerning the name? Yes, there are. There's lots of things concerning the name. We've been preaching some of those for the last month here on Wednesday nights. We've been preaching about praying in that name. We've been preaching about, you know, baptizing that name. Preach the power in that name. The authority in that name. How that name's used in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things about the name, I think, that we're missed out on because we really hadn't heard a whole lot of things about the name of Jesus. And obviously, those things included some of the things that were going on in Philip's ministry, which over and over, it says, 6th verse, seeing the miracles which he did. 7th verse, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And then concerning Simon, we just read 13th verse, he was baptized, continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. And this man was a sorcerer himself. Hello. But the power of God was greater than the power of the devil. And the name of Jesus is always associated with a transferal of power. It really is. I mean, when you think about it, when I accepted Jesus, I came out from under the devil's power and got under God's power. I came out of darkness and walked into light. Colossians 1:13 tells me that. I've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I came out of something into something. Ooh, hallelujah. I didn't just come out of drugs. I didn't just come out of jails. I didn't just come out of sin. I didn't just come out of darkness. I stepped into light. I stepped into power. I stepped into the supernatural. More powerful than what I was in. And what I was in was pretty controlling. If you all know the truth. What I was in was the spirit of the world, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience to this day. I was by nature a child of wrath. I enjoyed living the way I was living. I was under its domain, under its servitude. I was under its power. I was dominated by the devil. It dictated what I did on weekends. That power dictated how I related to people. It was a power I was under. And I'll tell you what, I'm under a greater power now. A whole lot better power now. I've come out of that power into the real power. That's what Simon did. He came out of the false supernatural. He came out of sorcery. He came out of that supernatural into the real supernatural. Not to no supernatural. No, he came into the real supernatural. He saw miracles and signs and wonders he'd never done and never seen. Yeah. How? By the name of Jesus. Praise God. By the name of Jesus. Well, the story goes on. Of course, they were, you know, they eventually the apostles came down and prayed for them, laid hands on them. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. Up to that point, they'd only been baptized in the name of Jesus. But they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And so the apostles came down and prayed for them. They got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to the 9th chapter. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is power. It's supernatural power. You know, I think churches need to be teaching on the things concerning the name of Jesus. That's what this series is all about, is the things concerning the name. Hallelujah. You know, this is, everybody, you know, you've heard this. And this is where Paul's on his way to persecute Christians. I'm going to read a few verses here and then connect the dots. Everybody ready? 3rd verse, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, Saul at that time, later Paul. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He's on his way to Damascus to persecute some Christians. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I'm the good Lord. I'm the man upstairs. I'm your maker. I love this. You know what he said? I am Jesus. That's his name. Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or the thorns is what he was talking about. He was talking about big thorns. You're kicking thorns and you're just hurting yourself. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You know, let's just make this one step at a time, okay? And that's volumes God's speaking to all of us here, really. God's just telling us to take this one step at a time. Yeah, but Lord, what about the... Listen, you just do the last thing I told you to do. Until you do the last thing God told you to do, He's not going to tell you anything else. But why? Why? Well, listen, don't get paralysis of analysis here. You know, you might need to think about this. It could be possible, just on an outside shot here, I'm just throwing this out here, you think about it, and if it does you any good, fine, don't throw it away. But it could be possible that you're not smart enough for God to tell you everything right now. That's possible. But you are smart enough to do this one thing He's telling you to do. And when you do that, He'll tell you something else. It may be that God, when I got saved, that God thought that I really couldn't handle Him showing me everything that I was going to do the rest of my life the week I got saved. And you know what? He was right. I don't think I could have handled all that. If He told me everything that was going to happen in my life, I didn't need to know everything that was going to happen in my life. I needed to know what to do that day. And that week, and so on and so forth. So anyway, He said, look, you just go, I'll show you what you do. Right now, I need you to go to this city. And so he went, and as he was going there, God spoke to one of his disciples. It says in the 10th verse, now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, not to be confused with Ananias and Sapphira, who checked out in a worship service. We'll get confused about them. This is another one. Ananias. And to him, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord, here I am. So the Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand upon him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard of this guy. I love that. You know, one thing I love about the Bible, it is so transparent and it is so honest. That's why you can trust the Bible. I mean, what if God told you, okay, here's what I want you to do. We have Osama bin Laden down the street. He's praying right now. I want you to go over there and lay your hands on him. I mean, I'm just a scenario, okay? What if? What if?
Yeah.
What if? What if he got saved? Hello? What would you say? Jesus gave you this vision. You'd say, Lord, if you've been watching the news, do you know who this guy is? Masterminded 9/11 and all that, you know? And I think we ought to go after him. I'm all about that. I think that's wonderful and everything. You know, are you with me? I'm not just you throwing this out here. This is Paul who persecuted the church. Okay. So, and he says, and I answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this guy, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. In case you didn't know, I thought I'd tell you. I always love that, because we're going to tell God something He doesn't already know. And that's about the way we operate, isn't it? I mean, God asks us to do something, we go, well, you know, Lord, let's talk about this. You know, like you're going to be smarter than he is, and you know more than he does, and you're going to tell him something he doesn't already know. So Ananias felt compelled to do that, and the Bible is very transparent. It shows his reaction. And it says, 15 verse, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you do suffer for the name of Jesus. Persecution, people against you. You don't suffer sickness for his name. You don't suffer. Hello? But you suffer persecution for his name. But one thing Paul had to do, and that was to bear the name of Jesus. That's what he carried. That's what we carry. You know, where's our proof? It's in the name of Jesus. We're card-carrying members of Jesus and Company. We belong to Jesus. We got one message. Jesus is the message. We've got one name we go by, Jesus. We're Jesus' people. We're in a Jesus family. It's all about Jesus. Amen. That's the name we bear. And so he did this, of course. The story goes on. Let's just read through here. 17th verse, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, I love that. You know, he just said, you know what? I believe what Jesus said. If he said he's been chosen, he's been chosen. If he says he's turned around, he must turn around. I'm just going to walk right up to him and say, Brother Saul. Yeah. Isn't that good? I mean, he accepted it when he decided to go over there. He didn't call him, you persecutor. You know, he said, Brother Saul. Yeah. There's just a whole lot in just that phrase. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Completely healed, delivered from this scales on his eyes from seeing that blinding light. And then it tells us, notice in the 27th verse, Barnabas took him, Paul, and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, and they attempted to kill him. So immediately Paul starts bearing this name. You know, Jesus is not... He didn't bring the message. He is the message. He's about turning you around, taking you out of the power of darkness into the power of God. And of course, you read through the book of Acts, you'll find miracles followed Paul, just like it followed Peter, just like it followed Philip, just like it should be in every New Testament church. But they come as a result of that name being preached, or that name being carried, or that name being spoken, or born, or picked up, taken with us. We've been infected with Jesus. Amen. It's time we get out there and spread this holy disease.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
The only way you can get it is get around somebody that's got it. Are you with me? Okay, Acts 26. This is good stuff. Still talking about this vision. Acts 26. Paul is abducted. He was taken. King Agrippa interviewed him. You know, he was in jail. He went to Rome. Did some of his best writing while he was in prison, incidentally. But the 26th chapter, he was recounting what took place in this vision. Now, you put all these things together, what Ananias said, what Paul and Jesus said there in Acts 8, then Acts 26, where he's recounting the vision. You put it all together, you'll find out what all Jesus said to him. And it says here in the 13th verse, 26th chapter, at midday, O king, Paul's in prison. Now he's standing in front of King Agrippa, and he's explaining what took place. He said, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads, the thorns, pricks. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now that's the same, but he gives us a little more insight as he follows on here. He says, But rise and stand on your feet, for I will appear to you for this purpose. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Brother Osteen used to always say that was a verse he stood on quite a bit as a minister, that God always delivered him from the people he sent him to. And every pastor ought to get a hold of that. I can tell y'all didn't get that. But I have to be delivered from you to ever be able to minister to you. Getting quiet in here. Listen to me. I have to be delivered from you. I can't stand up here and be thinking about, are you going to like this or not like this? Or is this going to be okay or not? I have to be able to minister to you by the Holy Spirit. Not hatefully. I don't want to make anybody mad. But I have to be delivered from the people God sends me to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Lord, I said, I'm not going to tell you the word. I'm just going to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. That'd be wrong. That's just as wrong just to be mad and upset all the time and just beat you over the head. But somewhere in between there, we ought to be able to hear God and not be affected by the reception. Amen? You wouldn't want somebody, goodness gracious, you wouldn't want a pastor that's going to come up here and just tell you what you want to hear. We all sit around and just say amen to all the things we already believe anyway. And everybody go, oh yeah, amen, I believe that. Believed it before I got here, still believe it. Never heard another new thing since I got here, but I believe it all. Never be challenged or anything. But anyway, okay, let's move on. That's another subject. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people and as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes. Everybody say, open their eyes.
Open their eyes.
I love that. In order to turn them. Wow. Turn them how? What? What is he talking about here? In order to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, he was called to bear the name of Jesus. We know that. Jesus told Ananias that. He preached Jesus boldly in the name of Jesus. What was he preaching? He was preaching the power of God over the power of the devil. Just like Philip preached the power of God over the power of Simon the sorcerer. Just like Simon realized that the power of God was greater than his own power, the power he had as a sorcerer. Just like they prayed in Acts 4, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. This name, Jesus, it means power. Of course, it represents him, Jesus. That's why. Because he's above everything and he is over sin. The name of Jesus is over sin. The name of Jesus is over sickness. The name of Jesus is over poverty. The name of Jesus is over depression. The name of Jesus is over lack. The name of Jesus is over the power of the devil.
Yes. Yes.
And when we get a hold of the name of Jesus, we will turn from the power of darkness to the power of God. We'll turn from the world supernatural to God supernatural. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's what he does. He turns whole cities from. The whole city of Samaria was turned from falling after Simon. To the power of God. And I mean, they didn't just turn in theory. They didn't just turn in idea. They didn't just turn around to a teaching or a philosophy. They turned and beheld the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the healings that took place. Woo! Hallelujah. That's what the name of Jesus is, see. The name of Jesus turns us, puts us under someone else's authority, puts us under another kingdom. It opens us up to another power, the real power. The power of God. That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yeah.
And he was responding to them in the 17th verse, those 70 disciples said that even the demons are subject to us through thy name. How did Jesus give them the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing would hurt them? How did he do that? He did that through his name.
Yeah.
Amen. What did they do when demons cropped up in the book of Acts? Acts 16th chapter, there's a woman possessed with a spirit of divination that followed Paul around. After 3 days, Paul turned to the spirit and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. Demons come out in that name. Because the real power is not the horoscope. The real power is not the fortune cookie. Hello. I don't even like fortune cookies. Brenda eats them. I just read the lotto numbers on them. You know. No, I don't. I never played the lotto in my life. I would never do that. But the real power is not in those kind of predictions. It's not in the fortune teller. It's not in the Ouija boards. It's not in, I don't even know what's current now. I don't know these psychics and all these people that do. The real power is here. It's in that name.
Yeah.
Call that name. You need some help? Call on that name.
Yes.
Amen. You need a miracle? Call on that name.
Turn,
turn from the power of darkness. No, turn from the devil. Turn from that. Turn to the power of God.
Yes.
Wrapped up in the name of Jesus. And if you'll call on that name and you understand the things concerning that name, hallelujah, you'll see some miracles in your life and some healings in your life and deliverance in your life. You can do it. You can have it. You're not limited to this world. We have a supernatural God on our side and even on our inside waiting for us to use that name so he can move in our midst.
Yes.
And show himself mighty. Hallelujah. Glory.